Okay. Morris mentioned that I was a big hit last year, but just so you know, from my perspective, we judge hits by donations. I don't think I was such a big hit last year. Not so much came through, but it's okay. I still come back. It's worthwhile. So I don't know about you. I'll speak for a few minutes. We're just trying to kill time, I think, until the food is ready. I don't know about you and your personal experience. I can't speak to it, but I can say from my own personal experience, I hate siyumim. I dread siyumim. And the reason I dread going to a siyum, I really, really don't like going to a siyum. The reason is because there's one guy sitting at the head of the table who spent the last 6 months, 8 months, 2 years slaving over some Masechta and Gemara, breaking his teeth or reading an art scroll, whichever way he did it. And he's learning and learning. And he comes here and he says pompously to everyone, come celebrate my achievements. And we're all there. It's good. It's free food. Or I don't know if it was free. I didn't have to pay. But it's definitely good food. It's good food. And we're all excited about that. But you're sitting there thinking like, yeah, this guy finished the Masechta, but I didn't even start one. And you're looking at the person making the siyum, and it's not jealousy, but it's almost being overwhelmed, no? You ever been to a siyum and you just sit there thinking like, this is amazing, and I can't possibly do that. It's so beyond me, it's so deep, it's so vast, Torah, that the more siyum I attend, the more behind I feel, the more lost I feel, the harder it is to achieve anything even comparable to the person making the siyum. And while there is a level of truth to that, I'd like to share with you one brief idea related to Tisha B'Av. We are in the 9 days. And the siyum that we're having tonight is a break in the Avelis. But we're all right now internalizing a loss of the Beis HaMikdash, a loss of Jewish sovereignty in the land of Israel. We're mourning something very deep. We're taking a pause to celebrate a siyum of Torah and therefore able to eat meat. But the general context of where we are is heading towards Tisha B'Av, where that mourning, that Avelis, will peak. It will climax on Tisha B'Av, and hopefully it will de-escalate afterwards. So maybe a thought on Tisha B'Av that I think will shed a little bit of light, bring a little bit of perspective. If you could hear me for just a few more minutes, I think we'll gain something meaningful about a siyum from this Dvar Torah. The Gemara tells us we know there are many things that are not allowed on Tisha B'Av. Person cannot eat or drink, they can't wear leather shoes, they can't engage in marital relations, they can't shower. There are many things on Tisha B'Av that are prohibited, correct? There's one Isser that even though it would seem to be the easiest prohibition to keep, because it's not that big of a deal for a lot of us, even so, it actually gets violated a lot on Tisha B'Av, and that's the Isser to learn Torah. There's an Isser of Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av. People are not allowed to engage in learning Torah. Not Gemara, not Chumash, not Navi, not Agadata, nothing, not Halacha. You can't learn on Tisha B'Av. Why not? Why can't you learn Torah on Tisha B'Av? So the Gemara seems, it's not clear, but the Gemara seems to give a reason for this. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from David HaMelech in Tehillim. It says, Pikudei Hashem Yesharim Misam Chelev. The word, the laws of God are straight. Misam Chelev. They gladden the heart. They make a person happy. Pekudei Hashem Yesharim Misam Chelev. It makes a person happy. What the poskim struggle with a little bit, we're streamlining here, but what the poskim struggle with, is that really true? How many people have been to a shir? How many people have opened the Black Gemara? How many people have opened the Chumash? Every time it brings you happiness? Every time you open the Gemara, you are automatically elated to be learning the Gemara? Never once did you say, what in the world is going on in this Aramaic gibberish? You were never frustrated by a pasuk in Chumash because you couldn't understand what mitzvah it was referencing? I mean, we don't all have the happiest experiences with every word of Torah we engage with. So what exactly does the Gemara mean? Pekudei Hashem Yesharim Misam Chelev? Torah makes everyone happy? So the Taz in his commentary in Shulchan Aruch offers an answer. We're not going to focus on it, but just to share it, it's an important perspective as well. The Taz says that when a person learns a sugya, it's absolutely true. You open that Gemara, you don't know what's left, you don't know what's right, you don't know what's up and down. It's hard to learn Gemara. It's really, really difficult, it's challenging, and you're breaking your teeth, and it's not a good feeling. It's frustrating. But you know what happens when you spend 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you ask a question to a rabbi, your chavrusa enlightens you, all of a sudden it becomes clearer, and then there's this feeling inside of, I conquered it. I did it. I accomplished something. That simcha is not to be competed with. That simcha is unparalleled. The simcha of accomplishing something that you thought was once impossible. That's what the Taz suggests. But I saw a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful insight, which I'm going to expound upon. I'm not even sure that the author even intended this point, but a beautiful insight into this Gemara, which I think will shed even more relatable light for us. Rabbi Yonason David, he's a son-in-law of the Pachad Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Huttner. They write in a similar style. So he has a sefer on these days of the Bein HaMetzarim and Tisha B'Av. So in there he quotes this Gemara, Pekudei Hashem Yesharim Misam Chelev. And he notes that if you pay careful attention, listen to me now, if you pay careful attention, the Gemara does not say that Torah is such that when a person engages in it, they are automatically happy. That's not what the Gemara says. The Pasuk says, Pekudei Hashem Yesharim Misam Chelev, meaning not the person, but the object, the actual entity of Torah, is objectively Misameach. It's objectively a happy place. It's a gladdening thing. It's not about the person learning it. Torah is a Cheftza Shel Simcha. It's an object with it, which is infused with joy, infused with happiness. It exudes simcha. What in the world does that mean? Torah exudes simcha. So let's start on the opposite pole. What does it mean to be sad? Why does a person ever feel sad, feel upset, feel depressed? Now, there's a million small answers, but the big answer is we feel sad when we're missing something. We feel sad when something's incomplete. When Rachmanu Litzlan, we lose a close relative, the Torah tells us to observe avelus. Why? Because we're missing a part of us. We're missing something. We're sad because something has been lost. We feel incomplete, correct? And the truth is, now that you take that a little bit further, when a person's really, really happy, so happy that it's abnormal, it's not natural how much simcha they're feeling, isn't there always that nagging feeling of, wait, when's the other shoe going to drop? When's it going to turn the other way? Isn't there always that feeling that's pestering you in the back of your head that it feels good, but I don't know if this is the full picture. Maybe something bad is on the other side of this goodness, of this positivity, of this happiness. Sadness comes from a feeling of lack of completion, of not having the full picture, of not knowing that everything is laid out in front of you in a clear and comfortable manner. The Torah contains everything. Every time we open a block Gemara, every time we sit down in front of a pasuk in Chumash, it doesn't matter if you understand everything. It doesn't matter if that block Gemara makes sense to you, the person who's looking at the Gemara, but that Torah is complete. That Torah is whole. It's a complete entity. It's full. That's true joy. That's true simcha. That every time a person opens a sefer, they're connecting to eternal completeness, eternal happiness, because what's in front of them is home. It's safe. It's comfortable. It's full. You know there's nothing missing. If you're missing something, it's you. But the Torah is complete. There's nothing that's gone. There's nothing lacking in the Torah in front of you. That is Pekudei Hashem Yesharim Misam Chelev. The Torah is an entity of happiness because it's complete, because it's whole. When we come to a siyum, we struggle. The guy is standing up there. He just worked 6-7 months. He's breaking his teeth on the Gemara. And we feel like we're a bunch of nothings. We can't possibly do that. And in some level, maybe we're right. Maybe you're not going to make a siyum on Maseches Gittin next Tisha B'Av. Maybe you're not going to finish Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum on this week's Parsha by the end of the week, although we're supposed to. Maybe we won't complete the projects in front of us. But that's not what gives us our simcha. That's not what makes us happy. That's not what makes us feel calm, comfortable with the Torah. What makes us comfortable and happy from the Torah is the fact that the Torah is complete. Even if you're not completing the Torah is an entity which is shalem, which is simcha, which exudes joy and happiness, which gladdens a person because it's the safest place that we can always turn to. So if the siyum doesn't help us complete a masechta, maybe, just maybe, the siyum inspires some of us to start a masechta. Maybe the siyum inspires us to open the Chumash, to try out the Parsha, to see what Va'eschanan is all about. Maybe to look at a pasuk in Nach, whatever Torah we connect to. Maybe the siyum doesn't tell us to complete, but the siyum tells us to try to engage with completion, to try to give ourselves time to expose ourselves to Torah, which is complete, and then maybe, just maybe, we'll be zocheh to the complete simcha of Pekudei Hashem Yesharim Misam Chelev. A mazel tov on the siyum, and I hope everyone enjoys the time together.